Hi, everybody, and welcome back. Oh, wait, okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Real Good with Sarah Luke. Today, I'm with my very good friend, Marcus Cumby.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing today, Marcus?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Guys, today, weed was legalized. Weed was legalized in New York, so it's a really nice day for myself and for a lot of other New Yorkers. But today's just a great day.
It's a good day. It's a good day. And I'm glad we're doing this finally. We've been talking about this for a bit.
We're
able to get it done.
Even before, like, we've talked about this idea before, like doing this basically. All right. So, 2021 Oscars. Today we are discussing Black Oscars 2021. We're going to be discussing the Black nominees, the Black film nominees this year. You were just telling me, like, it's a very interesting year for film.
Yeah, it's been such an interesting year for film with, obviously, the pandemic. But then also, too, I think this notion of everyone's increased social awareness, right? Like, with everything that happened last year in, you know, social, racial, and social economic. I think it's been a really interesting year in film, and lots of long way to go, but definitely, you know, an eventful year, right?
As far as what quarantine has done to film this year, I think it has really leveled the playing field in a lot of ways. There's made it where, you know, people can get their content out even more in a way they never could before.
Right.
Also, just the way that, they have been toying with that idea for, you know, of closing movie theaters for last few years. Like, movie theaters are like a dying thing. And this really, like, you know, opened up the home viewing options. We get to watch movies at home now, like brand new movies come out at home. And I do like it. You know me, I always found the movies at home anyway, like back in college.
Yeah.
I always, because, you would always be like, how did you watch it? I'm like, oh, I watched it on the computer. Like, did you watch this yet? Yeah.
I'm like, did you go to the Angelica downtown?
Nah, bitch, went to piratebay.com or some shit. But that's been my favorite thing about in the last few years is just like being able to watch more of these movies at home.
Mm-hmm.
In like, cause like, look how many nominees that Amazon has, and like, Netflix has.
Right.
I think the first year that Netflix, you remember like Mudbound and stuff, that was that first year that Netflix had Oscar nominations, and now it's just like a regular thing.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's so funny you brought up the theater thing though, and sorry, this is a little sidetrack, but I love going to the theater.
Yeah.
So like, part of me is like, oh. Yes, I love this innovation. I love this change in terms of home viewing. But I'm like, there's nothing to me like going to a movie theater. Like, you know?
Nothing beats a movie theater.
Yeah, and especially at like holiday time when you go home.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's such a great,
way. You know, when I go home, that's me and my mom's thing.
Yeah.
We like go out to eat and then we go to the movie.
Yeah.
Even
double, triple feature sometime in one day.
Man, what an exciting time to be Black in film though.
Yeah, 100%.
It's really like all the things that we dreamed of are really becoming doable.
Yeah. What do you feel has been like a big like theme that you've seen in terms of like, you know, Blacks in film and certainly Blacks in terms of being nominated, right?
Yeah.
For this landmark year of diversity.
Yeah. I think, before when we did have Black films, it was a suffering kind of theme.
Right. Right.
But I do know that those movies tend to be like really unpopular, and the unpopular opinion is like that we're tired of that. But you know, I am guilty like of, I do love those films too. Like I'll take anything and everything. But like to me, I don't necessarily mind like a historical slave movie. You know, I don't really mind a slave movie sometimes. But I think that's because that's all we had.
Agreed.
I really am like, you know, it's like we still have these themes in these movies, but they're not about suffering or pain.
Right.
They're, It's like quite the contrary. But even when there is suffering and pain, there's more than that. It's mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. story. It's not told anymore necessarily from like the white perspective with like the white lead. Because you know, film like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, obviously very dark. But yeah. but that's a black story, and there's yeah. no white people in the like.
Yeah,
they're in it, but they're not.
They're not in it,
and it just feels mm-hmm. different that way.
Yeah. And I think I agree with you. I think the thing that is interesting though, even still with this, is that. This isn't necessarily even a bad thing, but all of the nominees mm-hmm. from a lot of the black movies are still biopics, which is not like the end of the world.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah,
it's not the end of the world, but I do think that it is like, what is the next evolution, right?
Exactly.
Like, we've gone from the suffering slave films.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
We're now in biopics, which we've always been in biopics, like Ray, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Last King of Scotland.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's hard, you know, it's hard for companies to.
Yeah,
take that risk with black stories.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's really not hard because we know that people want to see that. But from their perspective, those are stories that people are not interested in.
Exactly.
It really is still overwhelmingly like biopics, like period pieces.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're ready for. I'm mm-hmm. ready for those black spy movies. Black. More black war movies, please. Like
100%.
Black soldiers.
Let me talk about the Five Bloods.
Yeah. You know my opinion on these war movies. The war movies are the last ones I watch. I save them for the last to watch. Nothing against them, but it's just the last thing I go to. So it would be really cool if some years those were like black war films. We're gonna get to that later with the fucking horrible snubbing of the Five Bloods.
That might even be one of the biggest snubs. We'll get to
that. We can talk about that first, actually.
Okay, let's do it.
I mean, I wrote that status that said that Adele Roy Lindo wasn't nominated. I don't even know what acting is anymore. I don't know what film is. And that's what happened.
I remember too, whenever it came out, it was like right at the beginning of quarantine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we watched it together, but
we watched it like at the same day or something.
No, I think we actually turned it on at the same time.
We did. We watched
but
it.
But we weren't watching. We weren't like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there being like, holy shit, that movie was just...
It really shook me. It was amazing. Yeah. And it only got fucking nominated for a score.
Yeah.
I think... I don't know if I want to be like, it's a travesty. It's like, I'm so over it. Yeah. And Spike Lee, like, kind of... I mean, he didn't expect it. Like, he kind of compared it to, like, the Green Book thing. He's just like... It's like, he doesn't even expect it at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it still fucking pisses me off.
Well, I also think, too, one thing I will say about it, I do think it came out super early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's, like, another thing. Like, I do think that there is, like, a history of, oh, I don't know. I take that back. Like, there's so many war films that have gotten tons of nominations. But I think there always is something about that early release that is always just kind of like, well.
Yeah.
But what was, I think, kind of surprising to me is that it didn't even get, like, a Best Picture nomination, right? Because there's so many films in Oscars that do get, like, Best Picture, but not very many other things.
Yeah, it didn't get, it didn't get screenplay.
It
was just so, good isn't the right word. Because I think it just was so.
Transformative.
Yes, and it was just nothing like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like Apocalypse Now and shit. Like, movie, there's no black films like that movie. The closest thing you can compare that film is to something like Apocalypse Now or something like this, you know, those 70s, like, it was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It was really 70s cinema-esque.
Yes.
Definitely.
100%.
Those, like, sorry, Spike, I'm hurt for you.
I am too.
But, you know, now he got his little consolation with the Cons thing.
Yeah. 100%.
I don't know. Consolation. And
well, also, too, I also feel like he's also just entering a new phase of his career. Frankly,
absolutely.
As well.
Yeah,
like,
he's like...
Because I think that you even told me this, that, like, you read an interview for The Five Bloods, and he was like, this is, like, the biggest budget that he's ever gotten, right, for anything. So, I do think that while we miss Spike this time around, we will definitely see him back at the Oscars.
Yeah, and guys, if you did not watch that film, you just have to. I feel
immediately.
Like, I don't think it got the buzz and the hype it deserved. I feel like it was overlooked, and I think it's a tragedy that... Not that it didn't get Oscar nominations, but I don't know. You know, I get very I don't know if hurt. I get hurt when movies, you know, every year I have that film, or like every few years I have that film that I'm just like, oh my God, that was like when Marion Cotillard was nominated for La Vie en Rose. I was like, if this bitch, you know, and when they but like when films like don't get acknowledged or oh my God, I get so like, I don't know, I get hurt. I'm very like affected by it, even though it's like, it's whatever. But
well, what do you think it was outside of Oscars? Like, what do you think it was about the Five Bloods for like the public recognition? Do you think it was the coronavirus?
Probably just the timing. Yeah, I guess. I mean, well, you know, they're like, okay, we can't have too many fucking black movies nominated. That's like how I feel like they feel like that. I feel like they would never have more black films than white films nominated, even though they have more white films than black films nominated all the time.
Right.
I think I always feel like they the same as every year. They don't fit it all in because they think it's too, they don't want too many black films in there.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't even see it as like
a, right.
Yeah, I don't know why it wasn't. I think it was timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay, so let's just hop into it. Yeah, so we're just gonna be talking about the black, like the films nominated and their awards they're nominated for, and we'll hop into it with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I fucking loved it. You know, because it was, again, you know, we are primarily theater.
Yeah.
Well, I won't say we're theater actors first. We were first trained on stage.
Correct.
And that's like our original love as far as acting and performing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just really brought me back.
Yeah.
Watching it was just like watching some good ass scene work in class or something.
Yeah, it was I appreciated the theatricality of it. It was a very there was something too, I think, about just like the cinematography and like the costumes. Like they did such a good job of capturing that world.
Yeah.
And I'm usually, not usually, but sometimes very like, oh, this was a play, is this gonna really work?
Right.
Y'all, like, you know, theater is meant to be theater and live, but like, how y'all gonna really make this work? And then also too, August Wilson's been passed away for a while now, so I'm like, but I think they did a great job of capturing the essence of the world he created visually.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, through the text, although the text was super rich as well.
It's just some good media acting, you know, just some good media ass acting.
Yeah.
Okay, and so nominations. So, you know, Chadwick Boseman got his nomination for Best Actor.
Yeah.
I just love it. I'm all about him winning that. It really just fucking, I won't say touched, I'll say it punched me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it was one of those performances that reminds you who you are, why you're doing this.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful, I don't know if it's his last on-screen performance.
I think it is.
But it's just so good because I think it's also like, you know, he's a theater actor as well.
Yeah.
He's a theater actor. And it was like, that was the best way to go out, I feel like. And it was, it was so painful. It was such a painful performance. And it was painful watching it because it's like, fuck, man, that's like, we don't get to see more.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was and I don't, have you seen any of his other films besides Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
Yeah, it was definitely like the best performance ever.
Yeah,
that he ever done. And it is a shame because we were, again, like I feel like he was just getting to that starting off point. So it is indeed tragic, but such a very well deserving nomination for sure.
Yeah, and you know, people have their opinions about a posthumous Oscar. I'm about it if it is worthy. Like, I was all about Heath Ledger's.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it, I think. But also, it just is so good. It was so good.
Super good, yeah.
And it's... I'm like, yeah, I don't, I want to see it.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. Okay, and then, you know, my girl, Best Actress. I think even though this role was maybe smaller than, like, pertaining to the big story and stuff than we usually would like, like me and you for Best Actress, it just, you can't deny that performance. It was, she's the best. She is the best.
Yeah.
She's the new Meryl. Like, but she's her own person, but she is the best.
In terms
best.
Of that level, 100%.
She look like in TV, film, like, they do not make them like her. Like, she is just.
Well, it's really interesting that you brought up the role thing. And I know we talked about this before. But in the play, like, you know, in play productions of that, and like awards for that play, that role is generally a supporting actor, actress nomination. And I would say it was definitely on the smaller side, but to your point, it was what she was able to accomplish with it.
Exactly.
Even like in the thing is that like she was able to portray an entire life, you know what I mean, without really getting into ups and downs and ups and downs of plot.
Exactly.
So like that in of itself, I think should be rewarded and acknowledged and recognized.
Yo, when you watch Viola Davis in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, you are just watching a master. Mm-hmm. She is just one of the best people on this planet, living, breathing, walking, who is acting. She just, her face, her body, like, and then she transformed, like, she gained some weight and she had, like, a fat suit. She transforms. She just disappears.
Yeah. Agreed.
She's just, like, textbook acting. Like, teaching. Like, watch this. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if she's gonna win it or not, but if she does, I'm here for her winning anytime.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she's gonna win either. I'd say we're gonna see so much more of her in many years to come.
She's, like, my direct inspiration idol right now. Like, the person whose career I want to emulate easily. Okay, and so Ma Rainey's Black Bottom got a Best Hair and Makeup nomination.
I love that.
The makeup is just so cool, too, because Viola Davis was inspired by Bette Davis in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which is just,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Isn't that so cool? Like,
yeah, it's very cool.
That movie's fucking nuts, but
you should review that one day.
The reason I love that hair and makeup was because it told you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just her hair and her makeup was so powerful and so effective, and like her sweating and like you just look at that face and that was the backstory.
Yeah.
You know, that face was the backstory, like all the backstory I needed.
Yeah.
And I knew who she was. And so
and they also had, like, I know this is like so minor for hair and makeup, but like not really, like the scarring that they did too for Chadwick's character, like that was like cool too. You know, I love a good prosthetic or a good like.
Definitely. And so we have our first Black women ever nominated for a hair and makeup Oscar. Neil and Jameika Wilson. It's amazing.
It's incredible.
And the costumes are also nominated.
Yes. Which I think the costumes are from a white woman, but she's like also legendary. Yeah. Right. As I mentioned before, it's a visually stunning film as well. I think they did an excellent job. I actually think that it has a really good shot for the technical awards for it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think so too. That will just be so fucking exciting to see.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing first Black people. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, me and you are definitely Oscar people.
Yeah.
And
100%.
That's just been like a real fun part of our friendship too, for me. Like every year we like to have somebody who like goes as hard as I do with it.
Right. Or to text, like, did you see the nominations? Like the morning of, it's like.
You want to move on to do you have anything else to say about Ma Rainey's Black Bottom?
No, I think it was a great film. You know, I guess the only other thing that I would say, and this is not really for Ma Rainey Black Bottom specifically, but apparently, like, you know, they're going to be filming, I believe, The Piano Lesson.
Yeah.
So it seems like we're going to see more of these August Wilson stuff. So I'm just excited to see what comes of it.
I am too, because, you know, August Wilson is some good heavy shit, some good meaty acting.
Yeah.
Yep. It just gets me so excited inside. Like, I'm just.
Yeah.
I just. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next movie we're going to talk about is Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so general feelings on the film?
It was really good. It was, it's interesting because I didn't know enough about the background of the plot. And I didn't know enough about it. Like, and I wish I knew more about it going in, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what that I think allowed me to do was to like not really have preconceived expectations or you know what I mean. So it was nice. I mean, Lakeith Stanfield and Daniel Kaluuya are like just two. They're two like easily two of the best black male like under 40 actors today. And it's so amazing that their stars have been rising so much.
Yeah, I agree. It was amazing. I always love learning more about the Black Panthers. Like, I'm fascinated by the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
Dominique Fishback, she was not nominated, but she was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I love that casting choice.
Yeah.
She is really good, and she's really one to watch. She's very subtle and understated. I like her a lot.
Yeah. What did you think about, got nominated for Best Picture, right?
Yeah,
which I think actually, like, if I'm not mistaken, it's a pretty historic Best Picture. Like, there's been black Best Picture winners and nominees, but my understanding is that this is, like, the first all-black producer. It's pretty iconic, right?
Yeah, because it's literally something that they told us wouldn't happen or couldn't be done or, like, they really tried to stop it.
Yeah.
It's just really fucking cool to even be in the same... I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that this is stuff we were dreaming of.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that we get multiple nominees.
Like, yeah.
In the same category?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Both two men nominated from this same movie. Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting worried that Lakeith wasn't going to get his nomination.
Yeah, you were texting me like a couple days before.
Yeah. Like, Daniel's great. He's good in everything. He can do no wrong.
Yeah.
But Lakeith in that movie, oh my God, it was, talk about stakes on stakes on stakes.
Yeah.
Making choices in the moment. He was just doing really good acting work.
Yeah.
And it was so uncomfortable and... I was pissed off the whole movie.
Yeah.
The whole movie, I was just, because, you know, we know it's coming. I watched it with Justin, and he was like, you look so mad. I'm like, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
It was like that kind of movie where you're just mad the whole time.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you can't stop it. It's like this fucking train rushing at you.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. You know it's coming. And that, it was so tense, and I loved it. It was really good.
What did you think about Lakeith being in support? Because there was like a little bit of a thing where it was like,
oh, who's the lead? I don't really mind, but I do think, I don't know. I think last week I thought he was a lead, but now this week I'm like,
oh, really?
I don't know. Like,
I would say that Lakeith was more of a lead.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely more so a lead. That he definitely, the story was more centered around him, even though I think you had to look deeper for that to realize that.
I agree with that.
I don't know. I don't think I think I'm okay with this, with how they did it.
I'm okay if that would have meant that Lakeith would have not got nominated.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he wasn't been a good contender for lead.
Yeah.
I'm glad where it landed.
Yeah, I think it is a debatable thing whether that was a lead or not, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. I do think it's also pretty iconic, though, that for Best Supporting Actor, there are three black nominees. I don't think people are talking about that enough, to be honest with you. Like, people are talking about how, like, amazing it is for all of the very diverse slate, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for three black people in one category,
it's nuts.
That's huge.
And ain't none of them a slave movie?
Yeah.
It's nominated for original screenplay. Which, what are the other nominees? Let me see the other nominees for original screenplay.
Yeah, I was surprised that it was original and not based on any other source material.
Right.
I think that makes sense, right? Like, you get best, like, I feel like best picture, best supporting actor. Like,
I honestly think maybe it could have, I don't want to say been traded out for another one, but, like, I don't feel that passionate about this for best screenplay. It's up against Minari, The Trial of Chicago 7, Promising Young Woman. You know, I think Promising Young Woman should get it this year. I think it might be.
I didn't see that yet.
Oh, my God. Sound of Metal and Judas and the Black Messiah. All amazing movies. I mean, I haven't seen Minari or The Trial of Chicago 7, but, you know, you've told me they're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So it's honestly maybe the one of the best years for original screenplay, like evenly.
Yeah.
In a while, because these are all super strong.
What would you pick?
I would pick Promising Young Woman. It was just so more different than that. Just unique, creative, shocking. Like it was just twists and turns. Like it.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah, but that's not what this is about. But, I mean, with that said, they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And it is also nominated for Best Original Song. And then Cinematography, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Me and you love that category.
Yeah.
And let me see what other cinematography nominations are.
You know, I always love a good cinematography for a black black cast film. Even if I don't even know if the cinematographer is black, but like you know, there's always been a thing about black lighting black people in films and theater and stuff, right? So
okay,
so that to get recognized is exciting
for sure. Yeah, the nominees are it makes me want to go watch it again because I won't say I didn't notice the cinematography, but like I now it does make me want to go take a closer look because that's not what I was primarily paying attention to. Okay, so Nomadland, News of the World, which I think they thought News of the World was going to get a lot more than it got.
Yeah, I didn't see that yet.
I haven't seen it either. So Nomadland, News of the World, Judas and the Black Messiah, and The Trial of Chicago 7.
Mm-hmm.
We probably will go to Nomadland, but I mean, come on.
Nomadland.
But
yeah.
Oh, and Mank. Mank is also nominated.
It'll
be Mank or Nomadland, but I'm hoping
I think Nomadland. Honestly, I think Nomadland is going to sweep a lot of the technical because it was just stunning. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else about that movie? It was...
That was a good, solid, like, film, I think. Who directed it? Was it Ryan... Did Ryan Coogler direct it?
Shaka King.
Oh, okay. Right. Ryan Coogler produced it.
It was, that movie just... You know, took me. They just put you in another place and destroys your whole day. Those are my favorite ones.
Yeah,
it's just fucking exciting. It's exciting to have. It's it's also really exciting for people to learn the truth about the Black Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Like because even Black people are confused about what the Black Panthers were.
Yeah,
but Black Panthers started fucking free lunch. You know what I mean? Watching that movie, you get to see like so much work has been done to make people forget what the Black Panthers were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's just the craziest time to be black right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We're like living in a fantasy world.
Yep.
Ugh, it's about time. Okay, our next movie was Soul.
Oh, this is so good.
Which is nominated for Best Animated Feature.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of wish that it was also nominated for Best Picture because it was such a good film. And it's so funny because I had a friend that was saying for weeks after, like, oh, you should watch it. Yeah. You know I am with animated movies.
Yeah.
If it's an animated, so for everyone listening, I have long been a person that loves film, but I have always been like, I don't like animated movies because they're for kids.
Right.
And, like, they've been doing so much work, like, over the past, like, 10, 15 years to make animated films, like, for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, and there's even some animated films that are just for adults or, like, for, you know, more mature audience. So, begrudgingly, I'd say I did watch Soul a couple weeks after it came out on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. It was so good. And, you know, for me, Sarah, that is not...
So, something I really liked, tell me if you agree with this, Jamie Foxx was completely disappeared into that character.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even necessarily know that was him if you didn't know that was him.
100%, yeah. And he had some, like, didn't really have very many of his Jamie Foxx.
He didn't do any
like
Jamie-isms, and it was...
Yeah.
I mean, we know Jamie Foxx is an incredibly talented actor.
Yes.
Even though I feel like we haven't really gotten to see that as much the last, like...
No.
He's making movies, but they're like action and
yeah.
Oh, he's got Tyson coming out though.
Oh, he's doing a Mike Tyson film?
Boy, Scorsese's producing it. It is.
They need to give him his other Oscar.
That is gonna be insane because that is perfect casting.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen his like comedic impression of him, but he does a perfect impression of him. And I love Jamie Foxx, and I feel like he was a fool for a while. You know what I mean? Like kind of was acting. I guess that was that time he was dating Katie Holmes. Maybe I'm not gonna blame her, but I feel like he like backed away from acting in a way.
Yeah,
he stopped making. I don't know, but he's coming back
too. I think also had some family stuff too going on or something like that.
Yeah. He's like coming back to it.
Well, also too, like to your point too, we also kind of were like, he had also done some films, I think, where it was just like, okay, this is not. What are you doing?
And he used to do nothing but like hits. I feel like, I mean, some of the best movies, like Collateral.
Oh my god!
Come on. And then obviously Ray, like Jamie Foxx is just a genius.
Yeah.
And this movie was just perfect. It was
really good.
It really got me, and it just reminded me like. It was a really good movie to watch right now because I feel like it's easy to forget purpose right now. It's easy to lose meaning to life. I wake up a lot of days with like no purpose and like I'm like life has kind of lost its meaning with quarantine. And it's easy to get caught up in that. And that movie was just like a nice reminder. It was really touching and inspiring.
Yeah.
And it was the music. It was incredible. It was, like, cool for, like, so many things. And, I mean, they can't do wrong. You know, like, was it Disney Pixar, right? Like,
yeah.
Fucking perfection.
Yeah, and I think so many great themes to the film as well that were super relatable for me. And it was a very, I don't know, it was a great film. I really was kind of surprised that it didn't get nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, really.
It'll definitely.
What people were saying, it did have a lot of. I think there's a couple I could have kicked out for Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. One Night in Miami.
Yeah, and I don't think we really talked about this in depth.
We watched it. I might have to watch it again. Honestly, the last half of the movie really hit me more than the first. I mean, that fucking final scene is just.
Yeah.
When he was singing.
And by the way, whenever I watched One Night in Miami with you that night.
Yeah.
Earlier that day, I had watched the United States versus Billie Holiday.
Right.
You watched something else too before that,
I watched Soul and Time before.
Yeah. So like we both saw like, well, Soul isn't like heavy, but like Time
Soul
is heavy.
Soul was kind of heavy though.
Yeah. Right.
Soul like really actually was that was a super depressed guy. You know, Soul was like fucking.
Yeah.
We both kind of like can say we saw a little of ourselves in that.
Oh, 100%.
So it was like some sad shit that they, as usual, masked into like light fluffy, so you were saying.
Well, point being, we both had watched stuff. I watched The United States versus Billie Holiday, which we'll get to in a minute. But like going from that to One Night in Miami, I was like, One Night in Miami was great.
Yeah.
But we also had a little bit of the pause in between when we watched it. But I think. Overall, I was really impressed with the film. Very similar to what we were talking about earlier with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes.
The cinematography and just like, were in Miami.
One Night in Miami was beautiful.
Yeah.
That cinematography, that art direction.
Costumes.
Oh my god, those rich like gold tones in that movie and stuff. Just beautiful movie.
Yeah.
On top of four beautiful men.
Yeah.
There is nothing more powerful on film or stage than black people.
Yeah.
My personal opinion. And to see four black men.
Man, yeah.
And then those fucking figures, obviously, like.
Yeah.
It was, there's just like this feeling you get when you watch, like, I guess it just goes back to like black people. We have that little like, that touch of regal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you can't deny it.
Yeah.
And so seeing them all on there do their thing and knowing, like, that black queen directed it, like.
Yeah.
You just feel so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that scene, because we were talking about, like, I was watching it, and I was like, okay, there's only one acting nomination. Though, I would have nominated, at least two or three of them. I think they all could have got a nomination.
Yeah.
And I need to look up who played Muhammad Ali.
I would love if they won at the SAG Awards for Best Ensemble.
Yes.
I don't think they will, yeah, but I would totally be like, yes, like that would be a good, like.
I would absolutely love that because, again, this is like, we know this film won't get. I mean, it's gotten awards and stuff, but it won't necessarily get all the awards like we would like it to get. And yeah, realistically, a cast of four, that will like never usually happens where they're all getting nominated.
And a cast of four with no like real like lead.
I forgot. Do you know that Regina King said, because somebody asked her, they were like, oh, it was a choice not to cast major names like big stars. And she said, no, they would not audition. They wanted bigger stars for this. Like there was bigger stars up, and they thought it was kind of beneath them to audition. So she.
I wonder why.
I mean, people don't like, people hate to audition. People think that you know, there's lots of actors that don't have to audition anymore. Are they like, well,
right?
Yeah, it's like
it's also too like adapted from a play.
Yeah.
So like that could also be like a weird.
Yeah, they. I mean, there was more people interested, but she was like, "I'm only, you know." And I think that that really paid off, that none of them are like, they're all like stars in their own right. And like, all this Hodge, the guy who played Jim Brown, like he's been in the game a fucking minute, but to not have like super huge household names, I think it really lent itself to this.
Yeah.
I really loved Eli Gorey, the guy who played Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I think he's the one that I would say.
Yes.
I don't think in place of Leslie Odom Jr.
No. But in addition to. And you know how we were saying, like I said, there's only one acting nomination, and I was like, I'm curious to see what got him the nomination. The singing scene got hit, like, was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
because, you know, there's always that scene that you're like, that's the one that sealed the deal. And that fucking, oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys, when you watch this movie, the last literally like 3 minutes of the film, like it just, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fucking amazing song. It's an amazing story. And Eli Gorey, what else has he been? He's Canadian. He was in Ballers. Okay.
Oh, was he?
He's 26.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's a beautiful young black man.
Is great. I have to do like, get it, Regina King, with your directorial debut. Like, that was
to have
excellent.
It be, yeah. Yo, it was so good. And just also interesting to see, like, a woman direct all these, like, such a man movie.
Yeah.
But clearly, you see so much vulnerability in that film and all the emotions. So it's like, which, like, you can, there are certain things that a woman director or actor will pull out of you. That you will not, same thing with a man.
Yeah.
We'll get things out of a woman that you like, but there are some sensitivities, some things that a woman will get out that a man couldn't. So that's another reason why it makes no sense that women directors are not. Because can you. Women directed films are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So Kingsley Benadire, he's British. Of course he is. Wait, is this the dude from. What else is he from? Oh, it's from High Fidelity. Oh, the boyfriend in High Fidelity. The show. Did you watch High Fidelity?
Oh, yeah.
The show?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that. He was the boyfriend.
He played, in one of them, he played,
Malcolm X.
Yes.
He was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I think he would have been the one I would pick.
For sure. I actually don't know why he didn't get a nomination, or I didn't hear more buzz about his performance individually.
Yeah.
But I think this was just really cool because it was like, I don't think it's right to say it's an introduction to these men, but it's like a new, you know, it's just opened them up even more, and we're going to see some great things coming from them. And this was nominated for, Leslie Odom Jr. got Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Mm-hmm.
He was fucking great. Oh, Leslie Odom Jr. initially passed on the role.
He's so happy he
did. Yeah, I definitely think he's the one you are looking at. He's the one who draws you in the most.
Yeah.
And it's nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, which, yeah, it's, I mean,
yeah,
I love plays turned into films.
Yeah.
I love a one-room story.
Yeah.
I love things that take place in one night, in one room.
Well, and also to, like, such a really, like, great dialogue that really, really, like, took us into the times. It gave us a peek into the times, which was actually, like, kind of cool, right? Because it's, like, the environment was just so lived in and lived definitely. Through with the text.
Yeah. The other nominees this year for adapted screenplay are The Father, The White Tiger, Nomadland, and then Borat. So I think there's definitely a chance of this movie winning this.
I think so, too.
For sure. Yeah,
it's like, I'd say this or Nomadland. Borat. But this is a good shot. I didn't see what was the other one?
The other one was, I think, did they say
the name? The White Tiger.
The White Tiger.
I don't know what the father is.
I think this stands a real good chance because it's like they got to give it something.
Yeah.
And. Yeah. It's a great screenplay. And it's relevant. You know, like, it's like, of all those, I think this stands a real big chance.
And the original song, I haven't heard the song.
I'm not sure.
But I actually think Leslie Adam Jr. wrote it. I think he's double nominated.
Oh, they play it at the closing credits. It's really good.
Is it good?
Yes.
Yeah. I need to listen to all the songs. Yeah. I could do that. I should do that.
Yeah. And we can watch the shorts and then listen to the songs.
Yeah.
So, it was, and it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, which, like, I'm okay with personally, but from a standpoint of, like the Oscars, like, why the fuck not?
Yeah.
You know,
It was nominated for cast.
Yeah.
At the SAG Awards, which is usually the equivalent. And wasn't it nominated for Best Picture at the Golden Globes?
Yeah, and she didn't get her director nomination Regina King didn't get her director nomination. Yeah. And it didn't get Best Picture. Which kind of surprised me that neither of those got it.
Yeah.
Because it got both the Golden Globes and it was all the buzz. So they deserve something.
Yeah, I agree.
They definitely deserve that Best Adapted Screenplay. And it's, you know, it's adapted, like, from a play. I mean, they're all adapted from a play or a book, but...
Would you be okay if it won just original song?
No. I mean, yeah, I'll be fine. But... but I think personally, of all those nominees that... It deserves Best Adapted Screenplay. And I'm really pushing for that win.
Yeah.
I would much rather get screenplay than song. I think that, I don't think it's going to get song. I think she's going to get the song. Okay. And the next film we're going to talk about is The United States versus Billie Holiday.
Oh, this is such a treat.
Amazing. Yeah. And its nomination was for Best Actress for Andrew Day.
Yeah.
A film debut.
Yeah. It just absolutely... incredible how much she was able to accomplish in this first film role.
Oh my God, talk about somebody who just gave it all.
Oh yeah.
Who just put it literally all out. Who all just dove in. She didn't, I really appreciated that film didn't sugarcoat anything. They didn't make it look prettier than it was. Like, I really appreciated that. And it definitely made me want to dive deep into Billie Holiday and like, it makes me want to get to know more. One of my friends told me that she has a friend. One of her friends is friends with Andrew Day, and in high school, she was obsessed with Billie. Oh, Billie really? Holiday is like her person. She's always been obsessed with. She did her hair like she started wearing her hair like her for like she was always her idol. And so, to fucking get to play this, like, she was born to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
This film was incredible.
Yeah. And had you ever seen Lady Sings the Blues with Diana Ross?
I never have.
I haven't either.
We need to watch that.
Yeah.
That's the one that she got snubbed for the Oscar for. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know her, know Andrew, but I'm proud of her. I'm like proud as fuck of her. And then seeing her win that Golden Globe was amazing because she's like.
I didn't think she was going to win
she
either.
She didn't think she was going to win. But man, it almost is like. That was like a best picture to me. I think of all the movies I've watched of the nominations this year, that one to me, I mean, I can see why it didn't get nominated, but just like my personal.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so good. I had to stop it and save it for the next day. You know what I mean?
Like, you broke it up?
Yes. It was like, I was like getting, I was like, I can't do this all right now. Cause it was like, I started it later in the day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta stop so I can really fully appreciate this and take it in. Okay, let's also talk about who was not nominated. Trevante Rhodes playing Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. First of all,
stunning.
I'm in love with him. When I saw that man in Moonlight, I was just
stunning. Like,
this man is
such a great actor.
Fine.
Yeah.
On top of how good he can act, he just He's a very good looking man. But he is just, he's a magnet for me. Just like magnetized to him on film. He is just beautiful on film.
Yeah.
And this character was amazing.
It was so amazing. And man, like just such crazy depth and like twist and turns that you just didn't expect to.
I definitely think that performance deserved a nomination.
You think lead or supporting?
Supporting.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
But like very solid supporting could potentially win. Like, you know.
That's like one of those nominations, like we know he would never get it, but he deserved it and we would love to see it.
Yeah.
Like I said, they can't give too many out.
He
is like them two together. That to me was just fearless acting.
Yeah.
Like as an actor, watching her do that fucking role was like, and that's her first film?
Yeah.
See her take those chances and and I mean that's a rough film. Like there's nudity, there's a lot, there's like pretty graphic sex scenes.
Right.
Like very realistic and heavy drug use, and she just is fearless. She embraces it, and she changed her voice. How she changed her voice right after I watched the interview with Billie Holiday, and she really became her.
You know what I loved in the film too was Divine Joy Randolph.
Yes, it was a super solid cast.
Yeah, it was just great.
She balanced out. I mean, she was. Yeah. She really balanced that film out. When Billy gets beat up.
Oh yeah.
And Divine Joy Randolph, that scene right there is like I've seen her in comedic roles. And
High Fidelity.
Yes.
She in that?
Yeah. And it seems like she's gonna kind of be that in this film, but then like scenes like that. I love scenes like that for actresses like her.
Yeah.
Like this bitch has like the chops.
Yeah.
She is really doing the work.
Yeah. And you know the other scene too was whenever they were at the restaurant and she was, and Billy was like, "Oh, you don't want to eat dinner with us, right?" And
she was my god.
Because like it would, you know, like but also too was just so crazy because like she had always been Billy's like ride or die, you know what I mean? Like, but you know, it's also too like there's always those people with these celebrities where it's like they're people that like they just came up with them and like their family members or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they, you just saw her like not turn on her per se, but like put her first.
Definitely.
Like,
yeah.
And she was like, take the dog.
That's what I'm saying. She was shitty as fuck to those people. Yeah. And they didn't like, they did not try to paint Billie Holiday as like, which I mean,
what a rough life.
Yeah. Rough life and a horrible drug addiction. And I thought that film really did a good job of showing the addiction and like the effect on other people.
Yeah.
It was just so heavy.
I did not know enough. I mean, I knew Billie Holiday had a rough life.
Yeah.
I didn't know all the stuff about, like, the Strange Fruit song.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know about that?
I knew a little bit about it. Yeah. I mean, Chantel, you know, my friend Chantel, she used Strange Fruit in a play in high school, which, like, I hit her up. I was like, bitch, you progressive-ass bitch. We were, like, 17, and she put Strange Fruit in her high school student-directed play. She used it in this play. And that was when I first became aware of Strange Fruit. And I've like looked it up, you know, like I am definitely familiar with the song.
Yeah.
But I was not so familiar with this like takedown of her that the government, I mean, look how many, so many fucking strong black people that the FBI took down. So many. Which these nominations alone, there's like several films that talk about that.
Yeah.
Three films nominated.
Right, you're right.
Yeah.
One in Miami,
Judas and the Black Messiah.
And
Yeah. It's that shit is real, folks.
Yeah.
Yo. So anything else about this film? I just really loved it.
It was great. Oh my god, you know who was so like hilarious but random? What is his name? The white guy that was the interviewer at the beginning.
Oh, Is Leslie Jordan in it?
Yes!
Yeah, Leslie Jordan in that part. It was yo,
it was just so
random.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot
about it. It was like, it was hilarious, but it was just so like,
My goodness.
It was so crazy because like, I think you and I had this conversation too. Maybe it was more about One Night in Miami. Maybe it was about United States versus Billie Holiday too, but like these were black celebrities. Like these were black famous people.
Very famous people. Yeah, like the most famous like wealthy black, and like the most famous black people in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, and still having to go through all the shit that they went through.
Oh my god! Yeah.
But they could have gotten more nominations than just Best Actress. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely would have loved to see that Best Supporting Actor, and definitely would have loved to see a script nomination.
Cinematography, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the editing, very cool editing in this film. Like the, do you remember the scene where he's on heroin and they walk?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, the lynching scene.
Yeah.
Y'all, this movie is so heavy but so necessary. I think, you know, like on suffering, like this film does have some suffering, but like this is such really an good. Important story to me.
What did you think about Garrett Hedlund?
Listen, I am I've been a Garrett Hedlund groupie since Friday Night. He's in Friday Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, since Friday Night Lights.
I thought he was really...
Since I saw that man in Four Brothers, Friday Night... that's like an actor who I like fell like cinematically in love with immediately. So any film he's in, I'm like...
Yeah.
I'm like... But, I mean, like, I don't think he looked anything like the real life guy. Like, I think when they showed the real life guy, it's like a fat, like, not cute guy. So I don't think... The character is so fucking, you hate him, which is always a sign that he's acted well.
The racist white character in the black film. Like,
listen, I am all about Garrett Hedlund. He put him in everything.
Yeah.
Put him in more.
I thought it was good. Yeah. I thought it was good.
I love him.
It was a great film.
It was so good. It's definitely one of my favorites I've watched this year.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could watch it again. Yeah, I could watch it again. It's one of those films.
I don't know if I could.
It's heavy.
Super heavy. And okay, so the last film, and I don't know if you've watched this one yet.
I have not.
Is Time, which is nominated for Best Documentary Feature.
Tell us about it.
Okay, so this woman, Fox Rich, her and her husband, when they were desperate for money, they robbed a bank. And he is sentenced to, I can't remember how many years, but it's a span over 20 years.
Okay.
The film. And it's fucking incredible. Amazing. Okay. And it's a lot of like home footage and stuff. And I mean, it's footage, they have six kids. She has six kids. And so it shows them from when the twins were in her stomach, when she was pregnant, to when they're like all her sons are grown now, and it just shows like her fight, and it shows she like became like a speaker. It is just the most beautiful, because you know it's a documentary that didn't rely on anything but her story. It didn't, you know, I feel like a lot of documentaries can be like emotionally manipulative or like I don't know, but it just was so understated, and it was so strong, and it just showed like the strength of black women.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't want to say too much to like spoil it, because like the last 5 minutes are like everything, but this is just a beautiful celebration of life. And it's dealing with the prison system, but it is very, it doesn't directly like, it's not preachy, and it's like again, it's understated. Like there's like a scene where she expresses her frustration, but the film is not about the system. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't like it's not like a documentary made to show the. It's just but it's just always amazing to see things that take place over, like what was it, Boyhood?
Yeah,
was that what it's called, Boyhood?
Boyhood.
Yeah, like that was such a fucking cool thing to see. It's just always such a feat. It's like amazing to see.
And you say it was shot over
20 years.
That's, isn't it? The documentarian is such an interesting role, like, because like there's documentaries that take years and years and years
exactly
to do.
Let me double check on that timeline, but 60. Okay, yeah, the husband is actually serving a 60-year sentence.
Oh my god.
And the film is showing her doing appeals over and over, and it shows her making these phone calls like every day, like, did you hear anything today, did you, and it shows that frustration, and it just really does, like, see, this is like, it's, she's that young here, and it shows, I think it's over 20 years, 20 years.
And was the... God, I need to just go watch it.
You do. It's like an hour and a half. It's everything.
Okay.
It's just... And it's all in black and white. It's shot in black and white. And, man, it's just... You cannot deny the power of a black story. So it's directed by Garrett Bradley. But it doesn't even feel directed. You know what I mean? When you watch it, it's like... Garrett Bradley's a girl. So it's a female film director. I did not realize.
Is she black?
She looks black. She looks mixed. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
It's so touching. It's so beautiful. You just... It's just the imagery in it. And then her sons are in it. So, you know, there it shows them like when they're little kids up to, and so, and just like seeing, I've always been very touched and affected by prison stories.
Yeah.
And the effect on the family. Yeah. And this shows that, and the sons, and it's just amazing how this woman kept her family together and kept the fight up. And it's just cool. I saw it on Amazon for a long time.
I need to watch
so
it.
I was really excited that it got nominated. And I haven't seen the other films, but I would love to see this film win.
Yeah.
And it's a good year for the subject matter as well.
Yeah.
I just think everybody should watch Time. Because
I will watch it.
Just visually, it's very cool. You know, being all black and white. And the woman in it, Fox Rich, is what really... She's from Louisiana, so she's got... I love Louisiana people. You will want to watch her for days.
Yeah.
You know those people who you just, like, love to watch speak?
Yeah.
And just... She...
Live.
Yeah, so she, aside from, like, the subject matter being very deep and touching and interesting, she is just a fascinating figure.
I will check that out.
Yeah, and then let me know what you think. Well, this is like a nice overdue conversation that we've had on this podcast, and I would love another time. We're going to get into like the more of the history of black people and the Oscars.
Oh gosh, we should totally do that.
Okay. So of all these films, like what wins are you really wanting to see?
Oh man. Okay. So, I mean, I think best actor for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Like, yeah. That's like duh.
And
we
would like to see those we would love to see those.
I want the
wins.
Technical wins. I want the hairstyle and makeup. I think costumes for sure. Yeah. Like has a really really big shot. The nominee for that is a white woman, but she did an amazing job, and she's also like an iconic designer.
Yeah,
Anne Roth. I think best supporting actor is obviously going to be Daniel Kaluuya. I feel like I feel like they're like really grooming him for it.
I would but love you a want surprise. Lakeith, And listen, I go back and forth on Lakeith. Like I think Lakeith is an amazing actor.
Yeah.
But I do like he's just I don't know. I like him, but he's just you know what it, he shows himself on so much. Like he that I'm like boy, you didn't get your ass a little publicist. But also that's very endearing. You know what I mean? Like he is so like,
it's like that.
He's so unpolished and like, he's a young man having fun with his fame right now too. And like, he's just like very, but I don't know if you follow him on social media.
The Instagram posts he did.
Yes. So a lot of times, I don't know. I feel like Lakeith Stanfield is like one of my friends or something where I'm like, boy. Yeah. But it's, I've seen him in a lot of stuff and, some stuff I like him better in. Sometimes I think, like, I'm like, oh, I can see you trying a little bit, but it's okay. I like what you're trying. I like what you're doing. But you cannot deny that he's, like, a fascinating actor to watch. He's very handsome, very interesting.
Yeah.
And he just physically made me ill with this character. So I would love to see him win that Oscar because I would love to see that speech.
I know.
Or Daniel, though. Daniel is just...
I think that I think Hollywood is really grooming Daniel to be
okay, there's all kinds of opinions about that too. Kind of grooming Daniel to be the American, like, film star. Like,
so let's talk about, can we talk about that for a second?
Just briefly. Even though that's a whole episode.
I don't know. I get it. Get it. But I'm also like, man, he's such a really good actor.
Well, yeah. And it's because we know that British actors do the work.
Yeah.
And, like, they do the work and it's reflected. But I'm a little split on that topic. I do think that I think white people are more drawn to people with a cool accent. So I definitely think that they're,
you get it. Yeah.
Or that's like a exotic version of black.
Right.
Even though I do love that actor and I do love some of those, I love a lot of those British black actors and they're great. And
yeah.
They do a lot of the work that is not built into our acting culture to even have to do.
100%.
But with that said, there are some of us black actors who are theater actors, because the difference is they have a stronger theater foundation in their training. And I think you know a theater actor when you see him too. That's like Chadwick Boseman was on a different level.
Yeah.
But with that said, Daniel, he's going to win it probably. And
I think probably best original song. But I think that's probably it for that one.
Yes. And then, you know, pleasant surprises if they get the others.
Exactly.
So, okay, we're hoping Soul will win
for
Best Animated Feature. There's a really strong chance. There is another Disney Pixar nominated Onward, but...
Yeah.
So, between those. But I think Soul was more loved by the public.
I think One Night in Miami only has a shot at adapted screenplay. Yeah, adapted screenplay. But I would have... If Leslie Odom Jr. pulled a surprise...
Oh my God, I'm
happy. I would be fine with that.
Yeah, in the words of Issa... I'm rooting for everybody black. Yeah, everybody black.
Yeah.
And everybody black who's nominated is deserving and amazing this year. Okay, and Andra Day might win for Best Actress.
Yeah, I think there's a real shot there.
I would love to see Andra Day win.
Yeah, she's a real contender here. Like, she's a real contender.
If Andra Day is beat by Carey Mulligan, I will not be upset. But I would love to see either of the... Or Viola Davis, but Viola Davis might not get it. I would love to... I actually am all about all of those actresses nominated. Everybody has a chance.
Yeah. It's so... You know what's crazy? Best Actress is usually always the best category.
Yeah.
Where literally it's like any one of these women can win.
Yeah, I feel like we usually always know Best Actor. Because it's usually...
Yeah.
It's the same. Best Actress is... always a wild card. Oh, but we love those supporting. We love a good supporting. Yes.
Honey.
And we are gonna get a supporting black male this year.
Yes.
We are going to. That's fucking exciting. We're just gonna have so many black winners.
Yeah.
All around, like compared to what we usually have, it's very exciting.
Okay.
So this is just such an exciting night. This is such an exciting year for the Oscars.
I agree.
This is a year where everything is good.
Everything is good.
There's nothing that's like filler. There's nothing that's like overrated. There's no fucking Green Book shit. There's no like war shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. Those war films are amazing. And obviously to the production and all that is a whole
stellar
beast of like.
Yeah.
But
a feat.
They draw me in the least. So, thank you so much, Marcus, for coming out here and talking to me about this.
Thank you for having me. This is actually really, really fun. We'll talk about this forever, too.
So. Yeah, this is easily in, like, the top five things we're most passionate about in the world. Like, Oscars. Yes. Yeah. We love Oscars. We should have our own show. One day, we will be reporting on the live carpet. One day, we will be reporting on the red carpet. And then one day, we'll also be walking on stage and getting my own Oscar.
Yeah.
And then we can make a podcast episode about that.
Word.
Marcus, do you have anything to plug?
I don't have anything to plug. I guess the only thing I want to plug is that we have got to have more conversations about the Oscars, so you have to have me back.
For sure. Well, I'm already planning our next episode. Okay. We will definitely do a predictions on all the categories. We'll have to do that soon because I'll be putting these episodes out. Because Oscars are the April 25th. We're recording this March 31st. So we have a little under a month, and we have...
Yeah.
I do like that this year. I feel like there's not that many movies I have to watch. Like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, there's less films that cover more. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
well, also too, we're not going nowhere. So we have like all the time.
This
in the
is
world
the
to watch
one
them.
Year we're going to get to watch our shorts and animated. We'll watch all of them.
Are they online, the shorts?
They're online. Okay. IFC is putting them online.
Oh,
and,
perfect.
A lot of them are on like Amazon and stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, keep listening. We have many more Oscar conversations to come. This is just really fun. I love talking, but about Oscars and awards stuff, like, could just talk for days. And I think I will. All right, y'all. Thank you.